I gotta fight for my balls, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on a roll, about to get all this dope. We ain't no fuck niggas, no. I swear to God, we the ghost. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my toes, and we on roof for greatness.
Welcome to the Real O Show. I'm Zachary.
And I'm Joshua, and we're brothers chasing the curiosities of our life.
And on the show today, we have Rob Jua, a creative music executive, motivational speaker, and author. Welcome to the show, Rob.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man.
Thank you.
It's going to be a good show. This is, and I want to say, since we've redone our show, you are the first guest.
You are the first guest.
First guest.
Look, God made me to be number one.
Hey.
And I'm just happy to be number one with all my people I love. So thank you.
To dive right into it.
Yeah.
How will blockchain and Web3 affect the music industry?
Wow. I think it's going to create a lot of transparency and accountability.
Ooh.
A lot of things artists don't know, like what's going on, how to find this, how to get into these portals to figure out how much money you owed, what you do, what is like. I think I'm no expert, by the way, but just from the things I've been reading on, you know, I just think it just helps people with just kind of seeing what's going on. And I think there's one side of it that says, you know, there's going to be maybe too much transparency, right? Because creatives sometimes see too much and they like get discouraged, or they'd be like, hey, I want more because you owe me more when no one really knows.
I was about to just say that.
Yeah.
I know on my end, it's mm-hmm. like if I know everything that's going on behind the scenes, I'm like, you know, I need a bigger piece of the pie.
Right.
So it's interesting.
You may see another part of what's going on behind the scenes is, all right, cool, you may see what we made, but you need to come also see what we spent.
Right.
So
exactly.
Then I think it's just going to like create transparency. Some people.
Are you looking forward to that?
I mean, I have no choice. Like, what I'm gonna do?
That's true.
None of us have a choice about what's coming with AI and blockchain and stuff. It's coming. It's there. Like, I have no choice. For me, it's like, well, how do you embrace it and become empowered by it versus trying to fight it? We can't fight the growth of technology. Like, technology is gonna keep, you know, the advancements are gonna keep happening. It needs to kind of happen in this space anyway. I think there's a lot of lazy people in music. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and I think it's going to help with transparency, and it's going to help both sides, right? You got an artist complaining about they want more, they want this, I deserve this, and then you show them, hey, man, your music didn't make shit, bro. You still owe us. Or you may have an artist saying, I want this and I want that, and damn, they made an extra million. Okay, they deserve that. So I think it'll help.
What are you doing to lean? I'm sorry to cut you off. No, what are you doing to lean into like the new technology, this Web3 blockchain? Like, what are you doing to kind of prepare?
Me personally, just learning how to use AI more and doing a lot of like you watching a lot of YouTube videos. Like, I'm not a super pro about it. I know it's coming. I don't know what angle is coming from or what's about to happen. I'm trying to learn more about it and like learn who to go, where to go, where to get the best piece of advice and direction for this, because I know that it's happening. So besides a bunch of YouTube videos, a book here and then, and speaking to more people that I know really into that space, right? Because I'm not the guy trying to be the master of everything. Like, yeah. I'm already like a creative executive. I already got so much shit going on that I'm like, man, who's really good at this that does this all the time that I could lean and ask some questions? So,
in your opinion, do you think that it's going to help artists be more pro label with the blockchain, or do you think it's going to go? Because, like, right now, I think it's as an artist, there's been no time where you didn't need a record label mm-hmm. like you need now.
Right.
So, do you think the blockchain will actually help because it's more transparency? I think, right now, artists can go on and they have all the access at their fingertips mm-hmm. where maybe 20 years ago you didn't have that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you think the blockchain is going to help the labels more, or do you think it's going to be more pro artist? Because I feel like, again, like you were saying, you want the more transparency. I think the reason why some artists aren't signed is because they're like, well, I'm pro me, you know? So do you think there's going to be more, because of the transparency, do you think it's going to be more pro label or more pro artist?
A label is always going to be pro label. And the artist is going to be always pro artist. There's always going to be that tug of war. So it's really going to be about who gets the most educated or who hires the most educated.
Right.
To be honest, I don't think it's going to benefit this guy or that guy, right? There's all these trillions of dollars in the world, right? And there's billions of people, but like a smaller group gets it because they figured some shit out, and the little group didn't want to figure out, so they don't get it. But what if they figure out, you know what I mean?
Right.
No. Whoever invests in either trying to figure it out or whoever invests in the people who figured it out, they're going to win. I think it's going to be a tug of war because you have the independent artist who's smarter now. You have the artist on the label who's smarter now that's going to look into that a little deeper. And then you have the labels like, yeah, I got this money and I can get the best guy. So I just think, again, it's going to continue. It's going to be a new tug of war, but it's just with a different level of transparency. And it's not going to hurt the business at the end of the day.
Right, I agree.
It's not.
I think it's only going to, honestly, I was going to say,
the music business, if you look at it, it's only like $20 billion is like the market cap. And to me,
that's small.
Outsider, it seems small as fuck.
For music?
Like
music.
A music
should be a $1 trillion mark. Like that's music?
100%.
I think that's where this next question kind of leads into like how it could be way bigger. Mm-hmm. What do you think the effects of AI are going to be in music? I think that we've seen a ton of like AI artists and all this. Do you think it's a positive effect on music or a negative effect? Because like to me, I think that AI is going to allow that market cap to go up because you're going to have people experimenting with other things that they had no access before, you know, playing around with a Drake vocal, doing whatever, adding it to a song, and maybe even it influences Drake or one of these big artists. So do you think AI is going to have a positive or negative effect going forward?
Who are you asking?
Music depends. In general, like the whole, as a, if you painted a broad stroke, like, is that going to be a good for music or bad? Because to me, I think AI is going to be great for labels, in a sense.
For me, being on the inside, it goes again, like, who you asking, right?
Right.
So if I say it's going to be bad for music, it could be bad for labels because they own the masters.
Right.
So you have all these people putting out records where there's going to be a lot of cease and desist and a whole bunch of stuff like that. Or I'm going to say, hey, that record was kind of hot. We could use that as a demo. Go recut that. Yeah, I own the master, but let's go recut that and let's make an actual fire record out of it.
Yeah.
So again, it's like, who you asking? And the person you asking, what's their mindset? Is it like cup half full or cup half empty?
Yeah.
I'm a cup half full person. So I'm going to say, hey, yo, whoever, Jay-Z, Kanye, Drake, Wayne, Lil Baby, whatever. This shit is fire, boy.
Right.
And the people already messing with it. Who did it? Oh, JJ did it with AI. Okay, so JJ produced it with AI and he did the lyrics? Yeah. All right, cool. I'm going to collab with JJ. Matter of fact, not only am I going to collab with JJ, I'm going to actually sign you, JJ. So with this collaboration, I'll eat off of it. You eat off of it. The people already seen it, already went there. Now I put my name fully on it, made it way more credible. This shit's going to be out of here.
Right.
That's how I look at shit.
Yeah.
Somebody else can be like, oh, you looking at, you fucking with my gift, my art, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the label owner like, oh, don't touch my master. Yo, this shit is moving already, bro.
Yeah.
Let me hug it and watch how much it go. Me fighting it is not going to make it go. It's just going to be a little disgruntled energy. But me hugging it and being like, man, this is just where shit is at. Let's just learn how to use it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two things to add to this because I want to ask like your personal opinion with the artists that you kind of interact with.
Mm-hmm.
But to add to the AI argument,
yeah.
I don't know how much you're on like TikTok and how much you consume of it. Obviously, like SZA is like,
who?
Massive. SZA, sorry.
Oh.
SZA, sorry. I always say her name. Like, I don't know how to fucking say
that. That's a haircut in Brooklyn. Like SZA. Yeah.
That's funny. But so they AI'd NBA Youngboy singing her song Snooze. Like the same lyrics, just NBA Youngboy's voice. And if NBA Youngboy made that song, it would win a Grammy. So it's something like that. You're saying that if an artist hears a banger of a song, they'll just remake the song by the masters and put it out.
I'm doing it over. What are we talking about? So someone created it.
Yes.
The people love it.
Yes.
You're already showing me proof of concept because the people love it. Now with me doing it, it's going to be more authentic. It's going to have soul to it because AI doesn't have soul.
Right.
This shit is out of here.
So even if we only like a free at bat.
Bro, it's an alley-oop. No, look.
Oh, like...
if you look at it like that, I would tell my artists, go, yo, use it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, fuck it. Let the AI keep the AI voice on it, and I'm gonna feature with the AI. It's gonna be a me and me collab. Hold on, music business. Don't try to steal that. I need $20 billion for that idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, embrace it.
I saw an artist. I don't want to mess up the name, but I saw an artist maybe like 6 months ago. They dropped a whole project, and they literally were like, hey, use AI, make a new song, make a new verse.
Right.
The one that I like the most, I'm going to pay you for that.
Yeah.
And so now thousands of people are just trying to make her song better because she was just like, yeah, try it. And whether something came from that or not came from it, it's like you're experimenting, you're trying.
Yeah.
Someone might have a completely different sound for what you thought of what you have to make for art. It's just, I think it makes it more, like you said, it's more transparent, it's more collaborative.
And look, to add to what you said, imagine a world where, and this is going to happen, it's bound to happen, where your fans who love you can collaborate with you. Like, me loving Snoop and Hov and 50 and all of that back then, like, me being an artist, a writer, or just even a fan, and just like, I want to say some shit, and what if they keep it? And they'd be like, they want to put it out, and I get writing credit or producer credit. Like, now I'm getting all my fans to buy in, because what if this song, you got to buy this song, whatever, stream, whatever. You got to buy, however, you got to buy something to get this song. All right, great. You got to buy a piece of merch or a token to get this song. And with access to that, you have a shot to do your own version of it and send it back to me. And if I pick it, you get paid again on a blockchain through a token. And now we collaborated in some type of way. And now we got this collaboration. And every fan who liked the collaboration, now we put half of the song on blockchain. And you guys can now buy a piece of this 50% of the song that we cut down to a million shares. Like, it's so much. It's like endless when you think about this shit. Now you got the community engaged, and you also have the fans becoming someone who could get profit off of what they like.
I would love, like, I would love to invest in an artist like that. Like, even if I wasn't even making a song, if I was like, yo, I found this artist in the Bronx, I fucking love them, no one even knows about them.
If I
could invest in that, like, I feel like that's where the future of music could go as well, where it's like, he's not, he could be at a label, could not be at a label.
Right.
But I'm like, yo, I believe in them, whatever it is, even if they flop, whatever.
There's another side to it that we're not looking at. So unless you ever sat in a studio for hours in blood, sweat, and tears and writing and creating songs, you don't really know how much it is, how much physical and spiritual energy it takes from you. It depletes you. Imagine a world where somebody wanted you, they did your lyrics, used your voice, AI'd you, the shit was so fire, and they got bread to pay you for a feature that you really didn't do. You just paying for my tone, but you pay me as if I did the work.
That's interesting.
That's 100%.
That's a whole different ball game we're talking about.
Yeah, you're just collecting it for your voice, for your image, your likeness.
And you pay me a regular fee. And if you don't, cool. I like the song and I know it's going to go. You're going to have to give me way more publishing. And I'm going to probably have to get the master on this. Like, you got to give me something because you're using my likeness. Now the artist feet kicked up in Bahamas in the mansion, making all this bread. And they like the record, obviously, right? They're not doing no shit that they don't like. But, like, you just didn't lift a finger. All you did was listen to it, like it, approve it, and got paid full rate.
Drake's going
to
be a trillionaire.
And own so much more. So you'll go from Drake being a 100 millionaire or whoever to these guys becoming billionaires. Artists going to become billionaires if they smart and understand this thing and don't have an ego. And, like, man, this shit is hot. Just, is it hot or is it not?
I kind of want to peel back because, listen, selfishly, this is a selfish question. I'm just curious how in today's age, say someone wants to get a song with Drake.
Yeah.
What is even the process? Is it like labels reaching out to labels? Is it just like, oh, I'm friends with this person, so we're going to make a song? Like, how does that in today's world work if I'm not friends with you?
I don't know Drake, but I'm going to just speak on like
just
like
in general.
Or Giants or people I know. So the way it usually is going to work on a record label, you're going to have to reach out to them, right? They're going to, the artist, should you have like an artist-to-artist relationship or somebody, the manager, somebody's homeboy, somebody in the background knows somebody.
Right.
Once the record is cut and if they're on a major label, the label has to clear it. So they have to give you a waiver saying you could use it. With that, they're going to be looking at their schedule and see if, do they have anything coming out? Because you putting out a song when they have this master rollout set up, you could throw off the whole marketing rollout. So that's really it, a label waiver. And then it's like, hey, is this a fee or is it a swap? Are you doing this as a... as a swap, meaning when it's my turn, I could come back to you and get a verse for free, or you're going to pay me right now.
The swap usually goes by
if I have just as much leverage as you. Like, two big artists to swap out, like Lil Baby and Da Baby, that's more of a swap.
Right.
Or everybody bought their bag. We got these big-ass budgets that we owe anyway. Yo, I'm going to tap your budget for 50. You can tap my budget for 50 because the money getting spent anyway. So... it's really swaps, but if I'm way bigger than you and this is about to get you lit, you may have to pay me for that. You may have to pay me for the feature, my vocal performance, and you may have to pay me for the video performance. So it's all relationship based.
How many? Can I just off this?
You've asked 19 questions in a row.
I'm just curious.
For a verse, is there like, if I pay you 50K, what is like the bars on the verse, like average? Like, could that be like, is it 4 bars, 8 bars? Because you know how like some verses are 15 seconds, some are like
4. I'm gonna need 50,000 bars. I ain't gonna lie. But it depends on.
I'm like curious, like the average, because it's like you get some people that like, I call it like a Kit Kat verse where it's like a tease, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Then you get some where like Travis Scott on the new 21 Savage who rap for a minute, 30 seconds. So like, what's the difference of that?
So there's a lot of factors, right? Like, perfect example. DJ Khaled probably paid Jay-Z nothing to rap on God Did for 30 minutes.
Yeah, he did. That was a long
Jay-Z
ass.
Jay-Z just loved the verse and just kept going.
Yeah.
You can't even pay Jay-Z for that. That's a relationship, but that was also the love for the record.
Yeah.
So it's different. Or somebody's like, yo, I'm going to give you 8 bars. because I feel like my time is worth $50,000 for 8 bars. Because what you're going to get marketing wise when I put this song up on my TikTok, Instagram, you can't even pay me for that. So there's no real answer to that. It's all relationships. It's all inspiration from the song. How did the song make me feel? Again, Jay-Z rapped for fucking ever on God Did. Somebody else probably would have did it 16. But you can't pay Jay-Z to do God Did. Jay-Z wanted to do that. Where Ross and Wayne and them probably did like a 16 or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have to be like a big artist though to be like, yo, I'm going to hop on that? Because that was kind of like my thing. Like I've seen like Drake hop on like a nobody's. Like when he hopped on like Young Blue's viral song a couple years ago.
You're
like,
still mine.
So you're still mine. Like have you had like big artists that are like, yo, I want to work with this little guy just because I love their sound and want to do it. Like as a label, are you kind of like, I don't know if I want to do that. Are you guys encouraging them like, oh yeah, you found someone, let's make this next thing?
I mean, it just depends on what position you are in at the label.
So right? It's like, so if you're like the guy, you kind of get your say. If you're kind of like
my
in
label
the weeds.
Is my say?
Yeah, like, no, I'm saying like if you're like the guy, like your artist, like your top artist, he says he wants to do the thing. But if you're like a middle of the pack guy, you're kind of like, ah,
it just depends
we'll see.
On how your deal structure, right? Like, do you have that type of creative freedom in your deal? Or does everything in your deal in the contract say that the label has to approve it?
Right.
Some people with leverage have full creative authority in their contract. Some people without leverage don't. Like, you gotta get this shit approved. I don't care how much you loved it. I'm still gonna, the top guys still have to approve it.
Yeah.
So all this shit is a leverage thing. It's all leverage. It's all relationship. There's no main way. There's no main thing, no main structure. It's all, remember, it's a creative business. All this shit was created, which means it could change. It could be this. You gotta do your dance. However you, wherever you at that moment, is how you gotta play. Until you get leverage. When you get leverage, you might sign a whack-ass deal, but it got you in the door. It got you these relationships. It got you visibility. Now you're selling these records. You could go back and say, hey, man, I know my second contract, my second album commitment was supposed to be $1 million or whatever, but I did this. I tripled the expectancy. Now I want to do this different. The terms I want to be way smaller, way shorter, and I want them to favor me. And guess what the label going to say? Okay. All right, cool.
Makes sense.
So, I'm curious because I've thought about this for a long time and just like from where you're at and just your point of view. So Drake signed a $500 million deal with Universal.
He did?
What do you think that was like for? Like, because Drake doesn't need anybody. So I'm curious to why he signed for $500 million.
I don't know what that deal was about. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if he signed a $500 million deal.
I thought it was for distributing.
Yeah, I just don't even know what that...
I don't know what that means.
Even if it's not Drake, let's just say anybody. Somebody got $500 million. Like, I don't even know what the breakdown of that looks like. Because, like, what is that? Is that over time? Is that over 10 more projects? Is that over finding more acts? Is that for past catalog? That. Like, that's so many things in that space when you hear, like, those major numbers like that. Like, so I don't know. You know what I'm saying? The only way you know situations is if you see the actual contract.
You think it's more like headline, though? Like, when you see, like, $500 million? Because I know, like, in sports, right? Like in sports, right? So like Jalen Hurts, he signs this crazy contract, $500 million, a couple $100 million, whatever it is. But like when you actually break down the contract, he ain't making that much money. Like it's just it's all a show. Like over time, the team can break it down here. We're gonna defer this to 2027, whatever it is. Like it's not actually straight up that much money. So it could just be a headline as well.
Drake worth that?
No, Drake is worth
it. So I'm not saying that deal. I don't know anything about
100%.
That deal numbers.
That's a discount deal.
Certain people over a lifetime of their catalog. Worth that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, again, like when you're not in music business, you don't know the particulars. If you don't know contracts and agreements, you don't know what those numbers mean, right? Like you hear about, I heard somebody the other day did a deal for like $30 million. And I'm like, that's cool. Was that $30 million advance? Is that $30 million over time? Or was the deal worth $30 million and you owe 8 albums and you ain't getting shit after that? Like you're going to be having to owe these albums and you're not getting an advance ever till you recoup. Like, so it's just a lot of things. Unless you see the actual agreement, it's just hearsay because you don't know the structure. You don't know the payout. You don't know this. You don't know the deliverables. You don't know if that was for past catalog. You don't know what it was for. You don't know if it's part of it is for you to sign new talent and they get to own that new catalog. We have no idea what's the tentacles or what that deal actually like encompasses. You know what I mean?
I want to pull on something you said because me and Joshua actually talk about this a lot, and especially as artists when they're signed to labels. How much does a label control like the output of an artist?
What do you mean by it?
Like, do they control like if they're like, hey, I want to drop this project? The label's like, yeah, you can't drop for 6 months. You can't drop for a year. Like, you can't like just drop this single. Like, do, like
no
how
label
much
gonna
that?
Really tell you you can't drop for 6 months or a year because they need to make return on investment back. So they
but
want
you
to
think
drop.
They try to like hold back a little bit. Like if they feel like they have lightning in the bottle and they only have this artist signed for 3 or 4 projects and they have like this lightning in the bottle, you don't think they try to like delay it a little bit so like keep that artist before they have to renegotiate?
That was back in the day. Now it's different because anything could be lightning in the bottle. The dumbest moment with us playing with this one little sound could go viral on TikTok and then spike up the Spotify and spike up the streaming. So it's different now. Like, this shit is really no more. You can't predict it anymore. I think it's the Wild Wild West. Like, we've never seen anything like this before. It is the Wild Wild West. I like it because anybody, life could change in one fucking post. One snippet could change your whole shit. You go leveled up. You rich as fuck. Everything you did, I could curse on this?
Yeah, you can curse on
everything you did don't even matter anymore because you caught a moment that people connected with. Now what you do with it is a different thing. Yeah. So it's different. The way it used to be, that shit don't exist no more, bro. Like
I love this. I've learned so much because it just reinforced how little I know about the music industry and how I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. I actually, and this is kind of to round out the pod, but I was watching a Tyler Walsh video and he had you on there and you said that you worked with Akon.
Yeah.
I'm growing up, Akon's a fucking legend. He has some of like when I think my childhood and my friends, like he probably has 5 or 6 songs that I'm like, to this day, if that goes on, everyone is like, that's an absolute hit. That's maybe probably more than that. Probably more than that. So what did you do with him? Can you like talk about that relationship at all? Just because I'm like nostalgia here, selfishly.
So I got to Akon by my mentor, Kedar Massenburg. Him and Akon, he was briefly managing Akon, but they decided to start a record label. When they started the record label, I was producing. I was still a producer, writer, artist. Like, so my background is I was an artist that turned to a producer, that turned to a DJ, that also engineered and also shot music videos. I didn't have any money, so I learned how to do everything so I could get music out. Again, so by the time I got to around Kedar, I was producing and just shopping beats and all that shit. And he stopped me and said, hey, man, you need to be an executive. And I just was like, no, because I always thought executives was corny. They suits. They don't know music. I'm like, he's like, yeah, you need to be an executive. Right. That's why you need to be an executive. And I'm like, why? He's like, you just said it. And I said, what? He said, because they don't know music. Well, you do. I was like, And so I still fought it for like 3 months or so. I was like, I don't want to be no exec. I don't want to be an exec. And then one day I looked in the mirror and I had a kid on the way. And I was like, fuck, the former CEO of Motown telling me I could be an executive. I should probably listen to him. He's mega successful at that. So him and Akon formed a label and he always told me like, once I get everything up and running, you're going to work for me. And I was like, all right, whatever. They formed the label, got a distribution deal with BMG. And he came to me, he's like, all right, cool. It's game time. I said, all right, cool. He's like, yeah, you A&R. Nuh-uh. Matter of fact, scratch that. You're the head of A&R. You run the whole shit. And here's your first project. I'm like, what is it? He's like, Akon. I'm like, oh, shit. Because we had other artists. I didn't think he's going to, I was going to get the big guy off the rip. I thought I was going to have to work with like the little new guys we were signing before I touched Akon. So Akon was my first big one. He just gave it to me and I delivered. It was a lot of pressure. It was hard.
What project? Can you talk about what project?
It was an album called, his Afrobeat album, Iconic, another one.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So it was just songs he already almost like had. Some of them he had like already. Some of them I had to go get features. Like I went and got Kiss Daniel, who's a big megastar in Africa. I went and got Afrobeat, who did that song, Joanna. Joe, and just tying up the business, right? Because with a lot of creatives, they make all this music, but no one took care of the business. No one did the paperwork, split sheets, nothing. It's just, I got this hot song. Like, all right. Is this clear? Like, who did the business? And it's like, oh, no business is done. So I had to go and do all the business for, like, no lie, for, like, maybe, like, close to 100 songs, maybe. It was like, because Akon was putting out 4 albums at once. He was going to put out 4 albums on one day.
Oh, shit.
So it was, like, 20 to 25 songs an album. So I had to go clear all of them. And shout out to my guy, Kyle, who at Warner now, because he came halfway when I was like, oh, shit. And he came and helped me clear it, too. Like, so, but that's how I started. Just being, it was the opportunity presented itself, and I was ready. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was learning as I go. I was reading books. My mentor told me talk to the lawyers. I would ask the lawyers 1,000 questions to kind of like figure it out. And then it had to work. Like I had a kid on the way. I didn't have no money coming in. I'm like fucked up at that point, but my mind is like strong. My willpower is like this or nothing. I'm not ending up with nothing. So
what was it like to work with him though? Like. through and through.
Con chill. Con just fucking laugh all day.
So if he was your first one, can you talk about like just list a couple of the people you worked with on that, like as obviously as an executive, like
yeah, he was just the first person I did like they like I got real. I've A&R'd for a long time, right?
Yeah.
He was just my first actual credit because I never took credit for A&R. And I just go help write, produce, curate, record, engineer. I didn't really look at it like it's an A&R. So I've worked with like a lot of people. He was just the one that was like, oh, this is formal now. Like I got a check for this. Like I got paid to do this. This is the actual like thing. The rest of it was just practice. But all of that was practice for this, right? Because I used to work at Rockefeller. I done been around Kanye. I done been around all that Rockefeller shit, Dame Dash, everything. Run from there, I had my own production situation at Sony, working with David Banner, Young Buck. From there, I just kept going on to DJing.
Yeah.
I've just been just trying to sell beats to get, you know, make it, sell beats to mixtape guys, put out my own mixtapes, went on the road, selling mixtapes hand in hand. Like, I've done pretty much whatever everything. You could do in this shit. Yeah.
As we close it out, I want you to leave anybody who made it this far with, like, what is one piece of advice for somebody who's making music, producer, shoots music videos, wants to be a record executive.
Creative
like,
at
what
all.
Is one, like, what is one thing you would want to leave those people that are really trying to, like, break into the music industry and, like, cement themselves?
You have to be delusional, meaning you have to think this already happened. Because everybody, the most people are going to quit on you because they don't have the endurance to keep going. This shit is, I was telling somebody yesterday, this shit is hard. Like the endurance. I'm talking about having this fucking dream, thinking you could make a living off of being creative and then watching people fall off left and right. Oh, you just want to be in music? That's so stupid. You're going to make a living creating? Go get a fucking job. You're so smart. Watching girlfriends leave because you ain't got no money. You fucking broke. Watching people just fall off because they just like, yo, I don't know how you still doing this shit. This shit ain't going to never happen. So to me, you just got to be delusional. You almost got to be a madman and be like, this shit is happening. And just close your eyes and just act like it happened already and just don't quit because you're going to get tested. You're going to want to quit all the time. This shit is very, 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 and did I say very, very, very hard.
Right.
Shit is hard to take. Like, the fact that I pay my bills off of shit in my brain and creating some shit, like, it's still like, yo, I could have quit so many times, bro. And I just kept pushing through all the pain, through the sadness, through being in fucking the room alone, like, looking at your bank account, that shit is on negative, like, you know what I mean? And you just like, I'm still going to push. And then just like, after you get past that, then surround yourself with positive people that remind you of who you are, right? Like, I got my guy T with me all the time. He reminds me, oh, you a fucking star. Like, you the guy. Like, or just being around people that show you you. Because once you get past the delusional part, where you're like, now you got motion and you in it, now people try to tear your confidence down. Oh, he too confident. You got to remember who you are and also have people around you who remind you of who you are, because people very quick to tell you who you're not.
Right.
Very quick. They're going to tell you who you're not.
I love that. That fired me up. Yeah. But Rob, this has been great. I've learned a fuck ton. We learned a ton.
And hey, what a guest to have on the first.
Yeah, the first one.
The first one back.
It made it hard for everyone back.
Bro, there's no better way than for me to be first. Like, I don't like being second. I'm not going to be eighth.
What a way to start 2024, too.
You got to start it properly.
Man, but Rob, we'll definitely have you on again, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, we come back. You just tell us when you want. Call T. We up here.
Let's go. Maybe we'll try to do a vlog or something next time.
Yeah, let's do a whole vlog. Damn, if y'all was with us this week. No, it's too many big meetings happening. Yeah. I don't know. Yo, I could have did the vlog, but put it out after we do this deal.
Let's do it.
We outside because we got Jaya. Everybody loving it. They want to know what's up with this Jaya guy from Africa. Everybody hearing about. And
I'm so ready.
So we talking to everybody and we see.
Before you go, can you plug your socials real quick just for the people that are listening?
My Instagram is rob.jua. My TikTok is rob.jua. All that shit is rob.jew. Every single thing. I made it very easy so you could just find me.
Perfect.
Love that. Yeah. Perfect. Love that. Rob, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes. I appreciate y'all. But it's for my family, for my mama, for my friends, my brothers. I got a stack of this gold. I tell you I'm on the road. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghost. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof and rings. They pay for getters. They want money more than they want fake shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. We going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it.
We too on par for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on checks I don't even feel. We bout to box, we drip. We bout to box, we fall.